3. Is this on?
Yeah.
I had a friend who was a Bible class teacher. He was a little bit older than I was. Great Bible class teacher. In fact, you had to get to his class early if you wanted to get a seat. One of the most popular Bible teachers I've ever come across. And he decided that he was going to start doing quizzes at the beginning of class over last week's material. Well, his class shrunk to about 4 in a matter of weeks. People just don't like quizzes at church or a Bible class. The reason I share that with you is I wanted to do a little quiz here at the beginning, but I think it'll be all right. Go ahead. What kind of tree is this? An apple tree, yeah. How about this one? Okay. Pear, banana. Hey, everybody got 100. That's great. Jesus says, as he concludes the Sermon on the Plain, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. Now, some of you probably could tell the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree, even when there's no fruit there. You know enough about plants, you know enough about trees that you have that recognition. But for the rest of us, it's a very simple process when the fruit is there. You know exactly what the tree is. And Jesus, as he has been explaining to us in the previous two sections that we've talked about, he's mentioned judging or making some opinions. He's mentioned criticizing and who you're going to listen to. And finally, he says, if you're going to have somebody who influences your life, if there's somebody who's going to have input into the way you see things and the way you follow things and the things you believe, you've got to be able to see the fruit before you decide whether to respond to what's being shared. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. And again, we've mentioned some things that probably the crowd would have thought a little bit humorous, and I can certainly see that being the case. But Jesus says, you don't go down and look in the thorn bushes for this certain type of fruit. And he knows that people would say, yeah, that'd be silly. It'd be a waste of time. You go to the place where you know that fruit's going to be. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. How do I know your heart? I look at the fruit of your life. Is that fair to do that? Absolutely. Because Jesus is telling us that's the criteria that we use for making this very critical evaluation. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus introduces this section by including a verse. It's Matthew 7, verse 15. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You've got to make some evaluation. You've got to make some judgment. How do we decide who's going to influence our life? Sometimes we decide based on history. We've known this person a long time. Or maybe our families have known each other. Maybe this person is somebody that we've had a deep connection with for a long period of time. And so we say, oh, okay, I can trust this person because I know them. In our culture, we give a lot of credence to education. If this person has a significant number of letters following their name, then obviously that's an important person, an educated person, a person that I would benefit from listening to. Sometimes we look around and say, who's popular? And while we don't actually think it typically, subconsciously we are thinking or saying or reasoning, if everybody thinks this person's a good person, then obviously they are, and it's somebody that I ought to listen to. We have experts and all of these people around, and there's so many people in our society that are being set up as the people that we listen to, the people who are in media, the people who are presented to us through entertainment, all kinds of ways. And this morning, I just want to use these verses to remind you primarily that the way secular society decides who to listen to and the way spiritual people are supposed to make that decision is two totally different things. It's not about entertainment. It's not about what sounds good to us. It's not about the things that are going to make us more powerful or more wealthy or all the things that are typically advertised. Jesus says simply, look at what they produce in their life. And if you see a product there that you think and you know is right, then that's the person that you want to give attention to. What if what you see in their life is evil? Then that's a person that you don't want to give attention to. The Bible tells us simply, the way to choose is to look at the fruit. This morning already was read, the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. That list is certainly things that we could take as reasons that we're going to follow somebody. And we're pretty familiar with those. I appreciate very much that Jerry read the whole passage because in the previous verses, it mentions some of the negative things. And some of those things are terrible things. And you look at those and think, well, orgies and witchcraft and those kind of things, I wouldn't have any association. I wouldn't begin to listen to somebody who was practicing those things. But did you listen for words like discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy? Sometimes we get to the place where those are just part of the territory. Those are just people being people. Those are just what people do in certain circumstances. That's just kind of the way my friends are. But that's not what Scripture is telling us. When we hear those people whispering in our ear, when we give attention to what they think, when we allow them to sway our opinions, then we're saying, you're my teacher, you're my leader, you're my mentor, and not looking seriously at the fruit that's in their lives. We look around and we see people who have a spiritual soul. We see people that their families are a recommendation to the way that they live their lives. We see people who have a heart for others, and they're constantly concerned about how do I impact other people? And I'm going to do that in little ways, and I'm going to do that in dramatic ways. And so we look at secular definitions, we look at spiritual definitions, and then we're supposed to decide. I'm afraid that we probably don't go through that evaluation process very carefully. We just kind of drift into patterns. We kind of drift into relationships. And instead of really focusing and really being, really assessing that person and that influence, we have a tendency just to drift into a whole bunch of different things. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, isn't that judging? Yeah, it is. It's evaluating. It's making an assessment. It's forming an opinion. And just as Jesus told us a few passages earlier not to judge, he reminds us that the pattern we use, the measure we use, is the measure that's going to be used back on us. And we have to be very careful about that. But here he's saying there are things that are evident. And those are the things that you have to use. I get frustrated sometimes when people say, well, you know, if you've forgiven somebody for something they did wrong, then you have to restore them to full position in your life again. And I don't see that. I think that forgiveness is erasing the consequences. If someone harms me in some way and I forgive that person, then I do away with the consequences. I don't have to see the consequences. I let go of that return, that revenge. That doesn't mean that I automatically elevate that person back to a place where I'm going to listen to the things that they have to say. In Luke chapter 3, verse 8, this is John the Baptist talking here. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The person who's been forgiven has a responsibility to demonstrate with their own fruit that they have changed, that they are different, and they are leading that repentance passage. This morning, I wish I could share with you stories that illustrate this point. And to be honest with you, I sat down weeks ago and wrote out some of the stories that I would share with you today. And over the couple of weeks that I've thought about that and prayed about that, I began to think, you know, maybe that isn't fair. Maybe that wouldn't be the right thing to do. And so I visited with some of you all and some other people and generally came back with the impression that I wouldn't do that. I don't have to do that, though, because if I'm going to tell you about someone who somebody followed only to find out that they had made a dramatic mistake, I can tell you dozens of those stories. But the truth is, you know those stories. You've had that experience in your own life. Probably every single person here today can just instantly recall someone that you thought was great. Everybody thought they were great. Everybody thought they were spiritual. All of the indications were there that they were. And then lo and behold, you find out, no, that isn't the case. And yet when we look really carefully in our memories, frequently we find those red flags. Maybe they weren't large, but they were there. Those things that were described in Galatians chapter 5. There was some selfish ambition there. There was some dissension. There was sowing factions. There was leading people in the wrong direction. All of those things had begun to appear in some fashion. We got a chance to see what was really coming. The hard part, or not the hard part, but one of the really hard parts of this passage is it doesn't fit our time frame. How long does it take to see the fruit of someone's life? Well, in the fast food generation, that doesn't really fit in. I can remember when we moved into our house, I wanted to have some fruit trees. And so for the first few years, every spring, I would plant fruit trees. Every spring, the gophers would eat the roots and the fruit trees would die. And so now, 32 years later, we have no fruit trees there. Other people do have fruit trees, and you can talk to them about their experience. And typically, depending on the type of fruit it is, 3, 4, even 6 or 7 years from the time you plant that young tree till the time you can actually expect to go out and pick some fruit. And that's if everything fits together. We had one time decided that we wanted to create a windbreak in the back part of our property. And some people from church bought like several thousand pine seedlings. And they didn't need all of them, so they gave us like 500 of them. We planted them very carefully. And then Sean mowed them down with a riding lawnmower. Really wasn't his fault. They kind of looked like Johnson grass, and he just took them all out in just one trip through the yard. It sure be nice to have those pine trees down there now, though. And every now and then I look down there and think, boy, if some of those trees had grown, things would really taken shape. Fruit doesn't happen overnight. And if we're in a hurry, or if we're not really willing to look diligently, then we can easily be deceived. We can't look at the fast. We have to look at the fulfillment of what's really there. And then, maybe you've known somebody for a long time. How do you get to the place where you courageously and honestly begin to evaluate that person's influence on your life? Is this person really somebody who needs to be influencing me? Is this person really someone that I want my children to be around? I noticed a young woman at one point in time who had been associated with a group of other young women, and I hadn't seen her with them. And I said, I don't see you with so-and-so. And she said, I can't be there anymore. Well, why not? Well, when I'm with them, I gossip. When I'm with them, I go home and I feel bad about myself. When I'm with them, I take up all of my time doing secular things, earthly things, instead of doing spiritual things. And I got to the place where I felt like I needed to remove myself from that group. It takes courage to do that. It takes a lot of strength to actually make that happen. There's a couple of passages I'd like to share with you. One is from Jude chapter 1, verse 12. that these two passages illustrate both sides of this equation. Jude says, these people are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. In other words, they're totally involved in the fellowship of the church. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted, twice dead. If you look hard, you'll see that these people really don't have the fruit that you're seeking. They really don't measure up. In comparison, though, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I'm the vine and you're the branches. Jesus says the only way you can produce is in me. And the only way that you are going to be able to bear fruit is when you're in me. And if you don't do that, then the trees or the branches are going to be cut away and thrown into the fire. And yet we sometimes have those very branches being influential in ways that really might be a little bit difficult. God gives us all different abilities. You may remember a few years ago, the Council of Dads book, a guy by the name of Bruce Feiler, and some of you are familiar with him, he found out that he had cancer. He had two twin daughters that were about 2 years old at the time. And he began to panic. What are my daughters going to do if they have to grow up without a father? And so what he did was he selected what he called the Council of Dads. And he chose, I think it was six men, it may have been eight, but each one of these guys had a special strength. And he also acknowledges in his book that each one of these guys had unique weaknesses. And so he was saying to them, I'd like for you to be the person that tells my daughters this. I'd like you to be the person that leads my daughters in financial things or in performance things or being the rock that they can depend on emotionally. And so this morning, I'm not talking about looking for somebody who's perfect. Instead, we're looking at their God-given talents and whether they're using those things in appropriate and positive ways so that they can lead us in a positive direction. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Because we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. As I've already said, none of us are perfect. So how do we separate the imperfect from the fruitless? Well, part of that is the attitude of the individual. Their willingness to own up to the things that they do wrong. Are they trying to hide these things? Are they trying to disown these things? When they do make a mistake, do they rationalize and change what they've said before so that it sounds better and it fits into the context? Are they willing to be transparent and admit the fact that they do make mistakes? Not that generic thing where we say, yeah, everybody sins. But that place where we say, I messed up on that. Would you forgive me? And I'll try not to make that same mistake again. That becomes the critical part of that process. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Another indication, the fact that we look carefully, we find out for sure. One last verse I'd like to share. This is from Psalms chapter 1, starting in verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I don't know about you, but I like that verse because that's what I'd like to be. I'd like to be what God wants me to be. I'd like to be able to stand through difficult kind of circumstances and situations. I'd like to be that individual. And the way that I do that is by teaching and by being taught and by following the example of other people who present that image. A few summers ago, I saw a guy, a young guy. He had a pickup truck and he was pulled over to the side of the road. He was selling watermelons. He had a pickup load of watermelons, and that always is a temptation for me. And so I pulled over and he said, they're $10 a piece. Okay, and so I'm kind of looking for a couple that I'll pick out of there. And I just said to him, where'd you get them? And he said, Walmart. So I'm thinking in my head, he went and bought $6 watermelons and brought them down here to the side of the road, and now he's selling them for $10. I ought to just drive away. But the more I thought of it, the more I thought, no, this guy's taking initiative. He's willing to work. He's trying to do the best that he can. He's recognized an opportunity, and so it was actually a pleasure to buy a couple of watermelons from him because he really was somebody that you could admire. You could feel very positively about what he was trying to do. In very small ways, we see people around us, and we look at what they do, and we say, I don't want to do that. Or we look at others, and we say, that's what I want to do. And sometimes we block that out of our minds because, well, I'm being too judgmental. But go back to this passage. Jesus authorizes us not to look at people's motives, not to be overly harsh, but it's fair to look at the fruit of the life and decide what happens next. This morning, if your fruit isn't exactly what it ought to be, if there are changes that need to be made in your life so that you could be a more fruitful person in the kingdom of God, we'd be glad to help you get to that position if you'd let that be known while we stand and sing together.
Would you live for Jesus and me?